SalesApe, the AI sales rep built to give small businesses the unfair advantage of closing more deals. If you generate over 50 leads a month but can't reply instantly, you lose deals. SalesApe will be your hidden superpower. Used by hundreds of real estate agents, construction companies, and service providers, and backed with $20 million from top investors. SalesApe is doubling sales for hundreds of businesses just like you. Your own AI agent instantly qualifies inbound leads, engages high-intent buyers, and books appointments 24/7, even when your team's off the clock. More sales, less overhead. Sales on autopilot. Go to salesape.ai/podcast to try their free demo. Again, that's salesape.ai/podcast for a free demo.
Facts, All Feelings Wrestling Podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
How is everyone doing? What's the vibes? What's a 411, girls?
Girls, I would like to announce that Keeping It Strong Style has accepted my proposal that if you guys make me do What Makes You Happy this year, I can join them. So,
you know what? Good luck with her.
Yeah.
Enjoy her.
Jeremy.
Good luck trying to get her to do anything she doesn't want to do, including watching New Japan. Yeah, she won't be watching any. Jeremy's like, we've got it. We just watch a bunch of Road 2s. I said, she doesn't. Yeah. She doesn't know how to watch anything.
Can't watch video.
She can't focus on video.
I think they're really going to enjoy my number one skill of not watching a video, but having feelings about it anyway somehow.
I like, you're just the like live slug reaction on Keeping It Strong Style, where it's just like, you're just like looking at the men like, kiss? Who? What are they doing? Kiss? Kiss?
Kiss. K-I-S-S.
K-I-S-S.
Maybe she does belong over there.
Maybe we all do.
Maybe we all do.
Wow. Let's rate them.
Trade feeds.
Let's rate them. All right. No, we won't rate any of you, but not right now, but maybe someday. I don't know. Anything can happen. What a week. I have to complain on that. I can't not complain. The weather here is so fucking bad. We had our little fall spring. It was beautiful. The windows are open. The sun is out. Then the temperature goes back down. It hovers around 30. 30 is the kind of temperature where if you're getting precipitation, it comes out in every form. You're getting, it's wet rains, it's stinging rains, it's hails, it's,
wet
you might,
rains.
Ian's laughing at me because she's like, wet rain isn't a thing. Well, it feels different when it's 30 degrees, okay?
It does,
it's
for
snow,
sure.
It's wetter. Sleet, yeah. It's hail. Everything is, I said, if you're getting precipitation, well, we are. To be clear, it's been snow, sleet, hail, raining for a week. And I had to go into the office twice, and I didn't like it, and I'm cold, and I'm scared, and it feels like winter is never going to end. Mommy, please come pick me up. I hate it here. I
can you
can't
pick me
live
up
in the
winter?
Upper Midwest anymore. I hate it.
It's terrible to have to go to an office in the morning in some kind of sleet.
I had to go to the office today, and it was so gray and cloudy and miserable out. And I said to my boss, I was like, I think we should get time and a half for being here in the bad weather. And everybody like looked at me and was like, is this the time, Leah? Because of, like, the economy's in the toilet. But I was like, it's extra the time.
Is this the time? Obviously, the that's time. Exactly the time.
How could it not be?
It's like when woke.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, when the world's falling down around your ears, you can at least shoot your shot, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. And girls, we got tornadoes here right as I was about to fall asleep. I heard the siren, so I had to go down to the basement to sleep in the basement. And after, like, at 12:30, I was like, well, I think the tornado warning was supposed to be over now. So I checked my, I was like, I'm going to pull up the weather and, like, see if it's past me. And they were zoomed in on my neighborhood saying, that's where the rotation is.
They were pointing at her, at
me. Yeah, right at me. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll stay in the basement. And I feel terrible today.
Did you end up spending the whole night?
No, at like 3:30, I woke up and I was like, we're going upstairs. So me and the dog made our way back up.
Was Shasta very confused about what
she was extremely confused. Yeah, although she did better than I thought she would. Like, she did settle down. I mean, she paced around me on the daybed, like, for quite a while. And I was like, you can just lie down. Like, that's fine. She was like, I don't know.
You know what? Her anxieties are very relatable.
Yeah. It's like, it's not right. Plus, the basement is where she gets to romp around like a psycho. Oh. So it's like a high energy place for her. So I was really pretty nervous when we were going down there at midnight to sleep.
But you were like, she's going to have slumber party vibes. She's going to want to be 100%. Up, you know, playing games till 4 a.m.
Yep.
Well, so there have been a number of trials and tribulations.
Do you guys ever think that we talk about the weather too much in chit-chat time?
Yeah, I think it's just our age. Like, there's a certain time of your life where the most important thing that's going on is what's going on with the weather.
But don't you think it's – I think it's been worse recently because it's been such a bad winter. I don't think that last year at this time we were talking about the weather this much. I'm just at the end of my fucking rope. I can't do this anymore. Live on a planet with a climate. I can't do this. I have to go to the Mars colony. I'm just kidding. I would never go to the Mars colony.
Do you think weather would be better on Mars?
I think it would be. It's that you're in an enclosed.
Allie, 3 years from now, is like, I've had it with these dust storms every day. God damn.
What am I trying to say? That it would be a climate controlled environment.
Yeah.
In the dome.
In the dome.
You famously enjoy recycle there.
Yeah. I kill everyone on the Mars colony because one day I'm just like, we have to get some air in here.
Open a window and they're like, the air is leaving if you open a window and you're like, we're
I
open. Can't,
I don't care. I'm at the end of my rope, I say. Wow. I can't wait to go down in history as the murderer of the Mars colony. Well,
there's a Roanoke colony where like no one knows what happened. Like, Allie just had to open a window.
That's the Roanoke secret too. It's just that someone opened the window.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
I know we solved that one. Don't get on my ass. It wasn't really a mystery. Anyway, okay. Okay, so what are you guys...
The way you just rolled your eyes at Roanoke explainers, like, oh my God, okay, we get it.
I know some of you are out there yelling at me.
If we get a single DM that says they carved in a tree where they went, I know.
Shut up. We all know what happened at Roanoke.
The amount of times we defensively say, don't yell at us, compared to the amount of times we actually get yelled at, is pretty funny, because
we're so successfully fending off the yelling. That's so true. That's when we're on the offense, and so no one has a chance to get on the offense with us, except for that time we got in trouble for raiding men. They got us there. All right, that's good. We're waking up, girls. We're waking up. We're having our fun. You, the listeners, what did you come here for? What do you listen to us for? What's the topic?
Who say?
Hey, I honestly love to know.
Yeah.
What's the topic of
the podcast? Let's do some market research. What do people listen to us for? I think the pit.
I'm pretty sure the pit. Sure, our weather reports.
Oh, my God. Guys, I can't.
The pit has gotten so good.
We're huge pit heads, I'll tell you that.
I feel sick when I remember how many episodes do we have left? Two?
Oh, yeah, God.
But then it's coming back in 8 months.
Yeah. Fuck yes. Hell yeah.
HBO, you are criminal in some ways, but in other ways, you are the only thing that's standing between us and the collapse of society.
Yeah. I read. Like, oh, we're going to do a season, almost a full season every year, like normal. Fuck thank God.
I read an article, I think someone in our group chat linked it, where it was like, whoever is in charge of content was like, he was like, yeah, The Last of Us is great and everything, but I've got a lot more months to be able to fill the content.
Yes.
I was like, 52 weeks of content I need. Like, yeah, that's why AEW's on max. Yeah.
That is why you need to have the pit.
I think. Gotta and it's have like, the pit we're getting the practical effects crews are finally getting their time to shine.
Yeah.
They're creating pregnancy birth scenarios.
They are.
Anything could happen on the pit week to week, medically. I mean, it's just medical stuff, really, but.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean.
Also, maybe they
do some forays into other issues facing society, you know?
So. They really covered many topics, Sally. Yeah. They really touched on many social ills.
So true, and I should never have suggested otherwise. Hi, Cher. Hi, Cher.
Did you guys see that preview for tonight's episode where there might be, like, a measles outbreak also, like, on top of the mass shooting? It's like, guys, might be a little bit of a hat on a hat situation.
Were you the one who said, like, save something for next season? Yeah,
like, take some of the eggs out of the pudding. They're expensive.
They're expensive. A lot of topical humor tonight. Well, girls, I can see that I told you guys to filibuster, and look at you, girls. You're doing amazing. I said, you stand up in front of me and you talk about anything other than wrestling.
My best friend visited a couple there weeks ago, and she told me that her husband is obsessed with the pit and that he cries in every episode. I was like, me too.
It's really moving. I was astonished when I was in a work meeting last week and I tried to join in the general, you know, like TV chit chat time by being like, and we're all watching the pit, and nobody else was. And I was
crazy.
What do you mean? Like, I felt unsafe. I was like, but this is a
normal
group
show.
Of normal working people.
Yeah. In any office, there should be at least 5 people out of 10 watching the pit.
Yeah.
I'm like, I thought you were the audience. I mean, I'm the audience for the pit, but it's like, this is supposed to be something we can share.
Yeah. Are we at a water cooler or not?
Like, I don't know. Okay. Crazy. I will make us, look, I'll make us do our job of talking about wrestling. But I do want to start by saying, like, this is just like kind of a general question. Don't you feel this week like nothing, one thing happened that activated us to do a degree that's frankly unsafe.
Speak for yourself. 2 things. Or something.
I forgot. Anne's going to, the pendulum of the podcast is going to swing on one of these topics. Two extremely sexy and exciting things happened. But almost everything else that happened this week, I was just like, yeah we knew about that. That's already happened. Didn't that already happen?
Hasn't it already happened like 5 times? Yeah.
I feel like we are in like, it's like Dynasty, the pay-per-view is about to happen this weekend. But it kind of feels like Dynasty, the pay-per-view has been happening every week for the past 3 weeks. And I'm kind of done with it. I'm done with Dynasty.
It doesn't help that like the January New Japan pay-per-view that we all had to watch for the Bucks and Kenny was also called Dynasty.
No.
So I don't know. Like why? It's why too much. This shouldn't have happened.
I already went to Dynasty, Tony. One Dynasty a year. That's all you get from me.
Plus, like the overspill from Revolution, like, took up half this build, so then it's really like nothing's happening. It's just like...
I know.
I don't even know. Why did Tony... The show has been so good for the last month or so, and then last night I want to die. I want to lie down and die at 8:30.
Last night, you've never seen worse attitudes on your girls than in our group chat last night, where I made my funniest joke of all time that I don't think anyone appreciated like I did, where I just kept posting a picture of Lady Catherine de Bourgh with her lips all pursed and everything that happened on TV.
It was funny, but it was just that the life had been drained out of me.
Yeah,
like, I think it was like 8:45. I was like, well, I think I'll watch the last 20 minutes from bed. And I was like, girl, you didn't even make it to 9 o'clock.
Dude, it was rough.
What's happening?
It's really
Tony,
rough.
If you could see how much other stuff I was doing online during this episode, your head would spin like you were in the Poltergeist, okay? That's the one where it spins, right?
Yeah. No, Exorcist.
Oh, Exorcist.
Fuck me. Well, I like.
Do you want to take the line again?
No. Let him hear. I don't care. I have no will to live. Why shouldn't they hear that? I don't remember what happened in which horror movie. The Poltergeist is a good film. There's a pool.
That's the
TV one, right? It scared me really bad.
Yeah.
I watched it. I don't know. Maybe it scared me.
I watched it during the pandemic. I'd never seen it before. I got really cultured during the pandemic in some ways.
In some ways, we watched a lot of things.
I saw my parents let me watch it. Anything. My parents made me watch it, or let me watch it at like, you know, like 11 or 12.
And I was supposed to be like, your parents made you watch it.
Well, my mom was kind of like, come on, you wuss, you'll be fine.
So in a way.
But then, like, I never went into a dark kitchen alone for like 10 years after that. To be honest, I still don't enjoy it.
Maybe that was her intention. She said, I don't want her sneaking around, playing with knives. Anything could happen in there. There's toasters. Dangerous. Let's just get her so scared she can't go in there alone.
Well, that'll do it. Poltergeist is a fucked up movie.
To all the parents out there, make them watch it young.
And then they'll be afraid of dark kitchens and TVs that aren't, like, actively playing something.
And pools. I thought the pool thing was really scary.
I haven't seen it.
Well,
TVs, I'd agree, probably.
TVs don't even do snow anymore, do they?
No.
Well, that's, they do, so if it's not on an input or whatever.
Like, well,
I don't even think mine does anymore.
No, they just do like a input screen. Yeah, like a black can't find input screen.
Oh, just like blue, yeah.
Can you believe that when we were growing up, TV just like stopped for the night? At a certain point, it was just like, no more TV now.
Yeah,
go to bed.
Go to bed.
Enough.
Yeah. Cool it. You shouldn't be up.
When I was young.
And then it would have the national anthem in the morning when TV came back online today again. Wow. At least in Canada it did. They play the Canadian national anthem when the CBC came back up.
I don't know if that happened.
It might
here.
Not have been an American thing. I just remember it vividly in the summers at my grandparents. We would wait for that Canadian national anthem.
It turns out I don't know what the Canadian national anthem is, so I'm just playing taps.
It's O Canada.
O Canada.
It's a good anthem. Do you think this is
am I singing a different song?
All-time worst chit-chat.
Yeah, probably. We're talking about wrestling now, Leah. This is part of our
wrestling
talk.
Yeah, this is part of the wrestling talk, Leah. I think you guys, though, I will say, I think you're doing amazing filibustering.
Thank you.
This is like some of our, in some ways, some of our best work.
Yeah,
because
we're working hard at it.
I don't know. I thought it was a really bad Dynamite. To be honest, it was to be perfectly frank, I thought it was one of the worst Dynamites we've had to watch in recent memory.
Unhappier than almost any other Dynamite we watched. Like,
I know.
I wasn't actively angry. I was just bored.
I feel like so many times we've logged on to Twitter.com and everyone's like, that was an insulting Dynamite. And we're like, we're having a perfectly good time. But I almost killed myself last night out of pure boredom. And I didn't see one person complaining about last night.
I truly just kept thinking the words to myself. I kept thinking, I am in a foul humor. It just didn't have that much for us. Okay, well, I guess we could talk about... You're right. We can talk about what we saw. So, Dynasty is this weekend. Oh, I guess I decided that we don't have to say anything about it. Well, I guess we said it, that Dynasty's happened. But it'll happen again. Okay. Guys, are you ready? Hey, should we do it? Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
And everyone loves it. Everyone's loving it. Okay. This week on Collision. Oh, shit. I forgot this is the part that I typed while I was watching Collision. Okay. Cope TR, and the Death Riders are set to fight for the Trios belts at Dynasty, which has already happened, but will happen again. So, in preparation... that's stupid. Dax fought Wheeler...
But it is... Correct. They did do it in preparation.
So they had a little practice bout on
Dynamite. Dax feeling it out.
Yeah. Dax fought Wheeler Yuta and lost, and he was really, really, really mad about it. Now, Yuta rolled Dax up for the win. Can you guys remind me where that falls on the humiliation scale?
I think a roll-up is the most humiliating way to get pinned.
I think,
is a submission, though, more humiliating than a pin?
I don't know if that's true, because remember we were in the Discord and someone said that it was an okay way to get out of it. And I was like, then why was everybody mad that Mariah lost that way? And everyone was like, I don't know. That's a normal, that's a cool, strong way to lose.
It's so cool. I actually to get rolled up.
I thought they said it was uncool. It looks stupid when
it looks so, it's the silliest looking. Like that, if I were a wrestler, getting rolled up is the one where I'd be like, don't make me do it, please. Don't make me kick my feet in the air like a baby while you pin me, please.
I mean, Dax did an extra silly version with the feet kicking, for sure.
Always looked
I love the key feet kicking. I love how stupid grown men look when they go,
oh no.
I mean, they should do it. I don't want them to stop doing it. I'm just saying I personally wouldn't. Yeah. I wouldn't let that happen to me.
You're a woman. You shouldn't be humiliated in that way.
I have to get pinned clean, shoulders to the mat. That's what I like. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Dax is really, really mad that this happened to him. And he's just sitting in the middle of the ring looking like a little cranky boy. And Yuta was so excited that he won. And he's just like bebopping around like, I did it, I did it, I did it. And he rocked into the crowd. And Claudio was waiting there for him and ushered him away to go to a celebratory dinner at Chili's. And they're having a great time. And Dax is getting up and he's going over to the ref and he's saying it was only a two count. That wasn't a win. And Paul Turner, whom Minnesotans hate, was like, well, it was. I'm the referee and my ruling stands. You lost the match. And Dax is getting really mad and being like, blah, 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 blah. And then he shoved Paul Turner into the turnbuckle. And so then security came out and they took possession of Dax. And
I love it. I could listen to this narration forever.
They put him in a little human baby cage, and he was wriggling around trying to get away.
Did they put him in a cage?
No, they were the cage. They were the person cage that surrounded him.
They were the human cage, and he was the baby in the human cage.
He was the baby in the cage. I'm with you. And he's trying to get away, and he can't. And Cash comes out, and he's like, security, get off. That's my friend. That's my best friend. Don't hurt him. And Dax is so disoriented from the baby cage that he swings around, and he shoves Cash to the ground, and Cash looks up at him stricken from the ground, and Dax is heaving all over his body. He's so mad, and so much has happened in the past 10 minutes. And but he looks apologetic, and he offers Cash his hand, and Cash slaps it away, and he gets up and he gets in his face, and then he leaves. And that's what happened on Collision. Did any of you watch that?
No. But they did recap segment it on Dynamite, which I enjoyed. And they really pushed their boobs together while they were having their little confrontation.
They wanted to kiss. They're meaty. I can't say that they didn't. I didn't want to see it. But yes, they certainly did do kissing pose. And we can't deny that. Okay, so then on Dynamite, we got a backstage segment with Renee where Dax apologized for, quote, letting his emotions get away from him the week before. And he said he'd been fined $10,000 for his actions by Tony Khan. But he asked Tony Khan if instead of paying the fine to Tony, I guess, he could pay it directly to Paul Turner, the ref, who was also in this segment. And Tony said yes. Which is funny. I was like, I don't know. Did this go through the finance department? Like, I just don't think you're allowed to do that. But and so he gave Paul Turner a $10,000 check, and he said, "Here's $10,000 for you, Paul. I'd like for you to enjoy it. Take your wife out to a nice dinner," which was really condescending.
It was.
He also ruffled his hair.
He ruffled his hair. Wild. Yeah.
And so it was a real like, I want to humiliate Paul Turner further, Tony. Can I pay it to him directly?
Can I make Paul Turner feel so small on national TV? And so then he was just being like, and again, I'm sorry. And it's like, you know me, I just let me get away from myself, but I've got me under control now. I'm the cage. I'm the baby and the cage now. And I have me under control. And Cash knows that because we're brothers. And Cash was like, we may be brothers.
Did he, did he reach out to touch Cash and Cash like slapped his hand away?
He went to give him a hug and Cash shoved him away.
Yeah. Oh, in my memories, he reached out to like cup Cash's face and Cash grabbed his arm.
I really thought you were going to say cup his titty because I think because I was about to say that Cash spent the whole segment crossing his arms and shoving his boobs up. Like
he did sort of look like a 13-year-old girl who's trying really hard to make mountains out of molehills.
I do too wear a bra.
I must increase my bust.
Well, anyway, so Dax reached out to try and cup his bust, but he was busted. And Cash said, "We may be brothers." I don't think he said that. He said, "We are brothers" or something. I don't know. But we'll be fine on Sunday. But after Sunday, we need to talk. Which I was like, is not the way that you would get a good performance out of me on Sunday.
Yeah. If you can just relax for a few days so I can yell at you later. Yeah, we'll do great in the meantime. I'm like, I wouldn't be anxious at all.
I would, if I wanted to get a good performance out of him on Sunday, I would just lie and just be like, we're totally fine. You're so right. Mm-hmm. We are doing great. Just keep the true thought of, I'm going to ream your ass after the pay-per-view to yourself, quiet in your brain, you know?
And that's management.
So last week on this podcast, FTR had a champion in Leah who said, these men have entranced me with their storytelling. And this week, Leah was in quite an ill humor throughout their segment and repeatedly said, this is nothing. This is nothing to me. But the pendulum had swung. Anne spent the whole segment saying, they've entranced me, body and soul.
It's true. They had, yeah.
So this week, Anne, why don't you tell us what excited you about FTR?
So it's not that I thought this segment was good, exactly.
Good start.
But I think there was something to the repetition that really delighted me, where it was like the last time Dax was like, I'm so sorry, I'm just here to apologize. Like, I let my emotions get the better of me. He's saying exact same thing in the exact same way. It was a real, like, history repeats itself first as tragedy then as farce kind of thing for me, really. Like, I thought it was so funny. And he is just, like, doing this character where it's, like, he's this roiling person of, like, rage and insecurity that he's, like, plastering over with, like, a, hey, I'm just a good guy. Like, he's shorter than Paul Turner, but he's reaching up to ruffle his hair. Just, like, I'm so sorry. You know, heat of the moment. Like, guys, you know, we're brothers. It's all fine, right, guys? Like, I'm just here to apologize. It's really not a big deal. And everyone's getting pretty fed up with it. And I don't know. I think that's entertainment for me.
Leah, your rebuttal?
And I actually don't have much of one because I was in an ill humor just because Dynamite was in an ill humor. And originally when I was watching that, I thought he was slipping back into his like, you know, like, I just care too much. I was thinking about my family and I just lost it kind of deal. But I did, like, when he's got into the whole check thing, the way he gave Paul Turner the check, I was like, that's pretty funny. So actually, and I like Ant's interpretation. So I think Dax, despite everything, might be trying to tell us a real story.
You know,
I think you talked me into it enough last week that I came into this one with a much better mood with Dax. And then I was like, this is hilarious. I love it.
This goes to, so you can't choose. You can't choose how to experience reality. Mm-hmm. You can really, your mind over matter. Okay. I think I'm between you two. I mean, Leah got one over. I think I feel closer to now, Allie, why can't you talk? What am I trying to say? Okay. I don't think that the performance Dax is giving is totally coherent. Like, I'm not sure that this character, like, really adds up. And in the middle of last night's promo, I did think, is he just chomping the Young Bucks EVP flave? Is he just doing EVP, like, the condescending, like, oh, you're doing great, buddy. You're doing great, buddy. I think he is. I think that Dax, and it's kind of funny.
Well, you know how important it is to him to be an homage artist.
Yeah, I know.
And he's a bit of a hothead, you know, so.
Oh, my God. I forgot that he didn't even comment on, I didn't even really follow it, that he posted that. I guess that whatever happened on Collision was some kind of Bret Hart reference. And then he posted some quote that was some kind of Bret Hart reference. But then 2 days later, Bret Hart was like, AEW actually sucks ass. That's got to be rough, buddy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe if you just, you know, if you did your own thing. Anyway. What are we talking about? What's happening here?
We're talking about how we're a Dax fan podcast now and you're still fighting it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I don't think it fully makes sense, but it's more entertaining than anything else he's done. I think it's derivative and slightly nonsensical, but that's better than nothing. That is better than nothing.
We're certainly grading on an insane curve.
Oh, an insane crazy curve. Yeah.
I didn't even know he was capable of this, and this is not. It's true. And B, there's literally nothing else on the show except the one thing we're going to discuss later. Like, mm-hmm. if there was other people doing art, maybe I wouldn't be so entranced by this. But I'm like, this is the one thing that has any depth. Yeah, it's an inch deep, but that's better than what else we got going on. But
do you think Dax sabotaged the rest of the show so that he could shine brighter?
Now, that would be an interesting character note.
It would be, yeah. I thought Cash's acting in this was so terrible. Also, which also entertained me. He was just like glaring at the ceiling, like, no, I'm so mad.
He just found one point to stare at that wasn't Dax and was like, I just look that way and I look mad and I push those titties up so everybody can see my big old bosom.
Also, I think it's so funny that he can't just be mad at Dax. There has to be like a reiteration. We are brothers.
I'm what like, is that? Brothers would not have had the friendly fire experience that you had. Okay, we know that. We know that.
No.
Not true brothers.
The Young Bucks would never find themselves in this such situation.
Although I guess I'm like, we haven't seen the Young Bucks in 10 years, so who knows what situation they'd find themselves in.
I thought you were advancing a conspiracy theory that we weren't seeing them because they broke up.
They're actually not
like,
speaking.
You don't know that. Maybe they kicked each other in the face and now they're not speaking.
I'm like, guys, I've got a little scoop for you. Okay? I've got a little insider scoop. The
Breaking
Young Bucks
news.
Are finished.
Can I just
Matt
say
and Nick can't speak to each other?
The situation we're in where the Young Bucks and Kenny are basically halftime at best. Orange Cassidy just got injured.
Oh my God.
Like, what am I supposed to watch on the show?
And the answer is Dax Harwood.
Jesus Christ. Apparently. All of our pleasures have been stripped from us one by one, except for the one thing that we'll talk about later.
The one thing. We got 2 minutes.
Except for our one singular pleasure. But everything else is gone.
No Jungle Boy.
Oh, my God.
Danny Garcia's on Collision, and we
don't
watch that.
Well, actually, Danny Garcia has quite a robust little fan on. Yeah, sorry, can't get through the sentence.
But I know Eddie Kingston, injured, Trent. Best friends gone forever. Trent never coming back, apparently.
Everything that made us love wrestling has been taken from us.
Yeah, so true. It's a bad situation.
And it's like Tony can sense it. And this week, didn't you feel like he just went, he's been going ham. He's like, no, guys, I have new wrestlers. And it's like, I hate when we get new wrestlers.
Yeah, that's our least favorite thing. Show me the old wrestlers.
Girls, you're going to be so excited. We got so many fun new wrestlers. Shut the fuck up. Take these men away. Guards. Take them to the dungeons until I can figure out what to do about all of this. Are you going to say something, Ann? I cut you off.
I don't think it was anything. It was just like, I would be psyched to see Sammy Guevara at this point, you know?
Oh, my God. I thought I heard a rumor that he was coming back to TV soon, and I did get excited.
I haven't seen him.
I haven't seen him.
Sammy's headed back to TV, and I was like, my friend Sammy?
Sammy, our old friend from the pandemic?
It does feel like sometimes you look around the show these days, and you're just like, Mommy, I don't know these people. These are all strangers. I don't feel safe. Please come pick me up. And because of the sleet thing, too. I don't want to be here anymore.
Rough week for your girls.
My God. But at least we're laughing. All right. So we don't fucking know what Dax is doing. But we have to admit, you know, it's not nothing. He's trying something.
He's trying something.
I think I don't know if he's doing a good job at it. What do you think is going to... Okay, so in the trio, Cope fought Claudio in the Dynamite main event, and he won. And...
The indignity of this main event starting at 9:40 when every other main event for the past 6 months has started at 9:55.
Yeah. This got a lady Catherine DeBerg. Don't worry about that. it's deeply troubling, and I don't think it was a good match. I mean, I don't feel super confident saying that because of how I was looking at my other tabs a lot, but
I was so mad I didn't watch it, but I think other people were saying it was boring too.
Good. Well, they're probably right. Yeah, why not? Anyway, Cope won, and so now to Cope TR and Death Riders will have their trios match at Dynasty. What do you think the outcome will be, and what will be the follow up to the outcome? Hey, girls, you want to do a little calculus with me right now?
It's funny how I've really never thought about it for a second, but one of these teams has to win. Yeah. And then they'll be trios champ.
And the thing is that if the Death Riders win, then it's like, well, why even have the match? Like, it's right. Like, you guys, literally, I think you don't remember that you have those belts most of the time.
No.
I thought today that it was a missed opportunity. I know everyone really hates Mox's briefcase, and I can't get into all of that. But I did think that it's fucked up that Mox is actively running a cult, and he has a belt in a briefcase, and three of his cult members have belts, and he didn't make them put them in briefcases. Like, it's like, what kind of a cult leader are you?
Okay,
like,
I'm
like,
so
it's their
happy.
Phones, and he's got to put it in, like, the safe so they can't get at it.
I'm so happy thinking about the Death Riders coming into an arena, and Marina has four briefcases handcuffed to her arm, and she's like, don't even think about it. I've got all four of these.
And that sounds dangerous. Like, you can't have that many briefcases cuffed to you and be, like, you break a wrist somehow, easily. Right? Mm. I would think.
I mean, those belts are heavy. Yeah.
Well, if they're in there at all, I guess we don't know. And there was only one briefcase, so. But I just think something about this doesn't add up to me. Anyway, if the Death Riders win, it's like, why did we do this? If Cope TR win, I guess they're doing a storyline. But what
yeah,
is
but you
it?
Would think you what would think this is heading towards, I think that they're going to swerve and like FTR is not going to break up, but they are going to turn on Cope.
Okay.
But why would
with the
they
belts?
Do that? That's what I mean.
We've like, asked for it a lot, so they're probably, yeah. They probably listen, if and they probably know that that's what we want, is for yeah. that to happen.
If they lose, then it would make sense for them to turn on Cope, but not if they win. So if they win, then they're just happy together.
Little Vegemite's as bright as bright can be. We all enjoy our Vegemite. No? Okay. Yeah.
I will say that Trish and Sarah advanced some theories that Cope and Christian might, because if the patriarchy turns on Christian, that they might end up back together. And girls, I'm at my leisure to receive that.
That's not nothing. That's something.
That's what I want. I'm just like, just pair the old men up. They want to be together. Yeah. We want to see them together. I want to see
them kiss
in, you know,
in the
mid-card. Sloppy kissing all around the backstage.
Yeah. They could do sloppy kissing in the mid-card. In the mid-card.
Oh, yeah. I'd love some sloppy kissing in the mid-card.
And they were in the mid-card? I actually was thinking just last week, I was like, God, doesn't it feel like no one is ever trying to kiss for us anymore? Except for the thing we'll talk about later.
Yeah, the one thing. But no one else is kissing at all.
I'm sickened by some of the lack of eroticism on this program recently, to be
it's
perfectly
like literally
frank.
Why am I watching? Yeah.
I could be watching The Pit right now. Okay. Every minute that I'm watching your show, Tony, is a minute that I'm not watching The Pit. HBO's The Pit, if you've heard of it. You're actually hosted on the same platform as it. It's HBO Max's The Pit. Watch it and maybe learn a thing or two. About drama.
Thursdays at 9.
Okay. Well,
right now, it just started, and we're recording this stupid podcast with stupid non-horny wrestling.
Dude, this is going so well. 30 minutes in, and we covered only one topic.
I don't think I'm getting my short little episode.
No, the short episode. All right. We filibustered too well.
Flew too close to the sun, girls. It's okay. We're about to get really horny, and then it'll be like kind of a downward slide from there. All right. Mox cut a promo on Collision where he was like, this was a funny promo, actually. He said, Swerve, I bet you and I would love to just eat some popcorn and watch Marina Shafir and Willow fight, but we are in the fight. Something like that. Where it was like, so you kind of floated the idea of like, we could just make it a date. We don't have to get involved. And then he pulled back and was like, no, we'll get in there. We'll get in there. But again, it's like that popcorn thing is on the table if you just wanted to do that.
Man, Swerve and Mox haven't even been horny for each other. And usually like Mox will get in there and get horny, but
Mox is in Toontown right now and Toontown isn't horny. You know, like he just can't access. Very true. Because every time he tries to do something a little sexy, he ends up looking like a drunken sailor instead. You know, it's like he's miscalibrated. I think we have got to take him back to the shop and get him calibrated. But so they did this tornado tag match that was Swerve and Willow versus Mox and someone else, another person, Marina Shafir, that I know. I know the name. What do you guys think?
I honestly had a pretty good time watching this one. I think Marina was, you know, messy, but it was fun because they were all legal at the same time. So then it was like there was a lot happening, and I really like Marina and Swerve, and I used to like Mox a lot, you know. And it's like, and Marina has such a cool vibe. She's cool. That I was just like, this is fun.
I love that she comes out in joggers and in a sports bra.
Yeah, it's great. And rules. It's so good. Yeah. I lay no blame for the Death Riders' crimes at your feet, Marina. You're fine. Yeah. You've been fine this whole time.
I did laugh, though, that I think Marina's known for, not wearing shoes in the ring, but, she wore shoes last night, and I think it's because she was like, I'm not gonna get, Speedball kind of has that kind of,
oh, you think
nailed
that's
down
what it
right now. Yeah.
That she saw Speedball Mike Bailey's feet and was like, I can't compete with those. What the fuck? Well, I guess it sucks for me. That's a good theory. I like that. I thought this was fun. I thought it was a really good time. And it was busy. That's what I needed. Yeah. I wanted it to be busy.
Yeah.
Right. The problems with normal mixed tags is it's just so laborious for one person to tag themselves.
You're never
in
doubt
so
about
then,
who's gonna get tagged in.
No, yeah. It's just kind of crazy, but this,
and it feels
this,
really artificial, whereas this felt much more natural for sure.
Yeah.
And they kind of did a little intergender, which was fun.
They did a couple different iterations of it. So Swerve almost got Mox with the house call towards the end of this match, but Marina got in the way. Willow ended up pinning Marina for the win. Mox was really mad about it. So while Willow was celebrating in the ring, and actually upon rewatch, I thought this was quite funny. He was He sidled into the ring and then was just kind of drunkenly stumbling around like, nobody noticed me, nobody noticed me, and nobody did notice him. So then he DDT'd Willow, despite the fact that she has a history of neck injuries and that she's a woman and he's a man. But gender is just a construct, so let's start there. And anyway, so then he left. And Swerve was, really worried about Willow and was, kneeling there and just kept looking. He was doing this great acting where he just kept looking at the Mox leaving through the audience like, what on earth is wrong with you? What is going on with you right now? Why would you do this? That was fun. Anything else to say about that before we get ourselves, before what's about to happen to us? Okay. Anything else before what's about to happen to us? Oh, I guess I have something else I have to say.
Oh. I did think it was a little bit funny that Willow sold the DDT so much because, I know DDTs are, that is a normal finisher, but I was like, Willow's taken a lot worse from bigger people than Mox. But okay, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's for the story.
Yeah. And Mox's sidling body language really is so funny. He's just gone full Sims burglar with his whole character, which is so funny.
He just had this energy of he was hiding behind things, and it's like there's nothing to hide behind. It's an empty ring. But he was like, da dun, da dun, da dun, da dun.
Can't see
da-dun
me when I walk like this.
Okay, so then later we had this backstage segment where Renee was checking in with Willow and Swerve, and Willow was still being seen to by doctors, and Swerve was like, Willow is very strong and brave. That's why I was fighting with her in the first place. She welcomed the challenge. And then he said, but John, knowing the history of neck issues that Willow has, you still chose to do what you did tonight, which I thought was a bit funny. Now I'm on the hunt. I'm not resting until I have my hands on John Moxley tonight. By the end of tonight, I will have my hands on John Moxley. I promise you that. And I said, oh, well, I like that. I like to hear it.
Yeah.
So then we're in the Dynamite Overrun. Cope has had his long match, but still we are in the show. We're backstage. Renee says she's looking for a word with Swerve. Swerve was deep in angry conversation with Prince Nana. What was that about? Could you guys understand what Prince Nana said as he was leaving? I couldn't. No. But I wanted to. And he said, I'm sorry. Do you think this is some of my...
I didn't, but I wanted to.
Some of my... Be real with me. Is this some of my worst work as a cruise director? Because I don't feel like this is going well for me at all.
I'm loving your narration. Your word choice is delightful.
I'm troubled
you're doing great.
About how I might come off in this episode.
No, you're doing
so
great.
Please be gentle with me when you edit. You know, I mean, you might need to cut huge swaths of my contribution.
You just hear me like cut it. Here's where Allie described a match, and then it's like we fade back in.
I don't know. I would just cut me pretty liberally, to be honest. Okay. So he says, Renee's like, can I get a word? Swerve says, he gets really upset and it's like kind of like his body gets big and then he's trying to cool himself off. He says, I'm sorry, Renee, but with all due respect, I'm looking for your husband right now. Renee's vibe, everyone always is. Oh, trust me. I'm well aware.
Such a horny way to phrase it, too. I was just like, oh.
It's like Renee, the life of Renee backstage, everyone is always looking for her husband in that tone. It's just like, yeah, we all want to find my husband. I get it. I'm horny too, but instead of finding Mox, moments later, Hangman comes storming down the hallway behind Swerve, shouting, hey, you're wasting your time. I made a promise that you would never hold that championship again, and I'm a man of my word. Security ducks in to keep the men apart from each other. And as they do so, Swerve snaps, you need to let it go and move on with your life.
Already good.
Already really good.
Right there, it's good. When someone says really you need to move on.
You need to move on.
No.
Yeah.
We're both stuck here.
We're stuck here.
Also, can I say the fact that security ran out immediately to grab them is like there's like a bell or something that rings when Hangman and Swerve like are in sight range of each other.
Activate.
And it's like, yeah, like, oh, someone get in there. Like something bad's going to happen.
Okay. I'm obsessed with the idea of Tony having a live map of he has all his wrestlers chip because of their theme songs. And he's got a live map of the backstage. And that when people who are in a feud together get too close, an alarm goes off and he's like, oh God, send security, send security. And a camera, send a camera.
And a camera, exactly.
Two security guards and a cameraman, stat.
Okay, so Swerve, you need to let it go and move on with your life. Hangman screams, you broke into my home. Swerve screams, you burned my house down. Hangman says, you deserved it. And Swerve says, I know. Everything stops. Stop.
Oh, my God.
What did you say to me? Hangman says. Security at this point is just like, oh, we don't do we don't work here anymore.
They let go of him. Everybody freezes. Everyone's like,
also
what just happened?
They immediately let go. It's like, oh, they're not going to fight. They're going to kiss. Okay, it's fine.
Okay,
like,
all right,
we can
let go. All right. But camera, you stay on this.
Stay on it.
Hangman says, What did you say to me? Whew. And Swerve so tensely says, I said I know. Long, tense, silent moment. Hangman turns around and marches back the way he came. A man emotionally unprepared for what had just happened to him.
His expression went blank with shock. Like all the anger went out of him and he was just absolutely taken out. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Literally the last thing on earth he ever expected Swerve to say in that moment.
This, absolutely unreal. Swerve's face acting in this moment, fucking perfect. He looked so fucked up. Like, it's like, you know, you don't really know exactly what's going on in his head. It's like he said something. It seems like maybe he didn't mean to say it in that moment, but he understands why he said it. He's not disconnected from what is happening in his brain. He looks like he's going to cry. He like wipes at the corner of his eye.
Yeah, he wiped his eye. Yeah.
And then just gets so like kind of like blank faced again. Like, why? I just have to look for Mox. I can't think about that right now.
That's a really sexy thing. Like, I'd never thought about that before, that hangman lives in denial and, like, you know, in invented fictions about himself, but Swerve never does. Swerve yeah. knows exactly mm-hmm. who he is and is living with that all the time. Yeah. He doesn't, you know, he sees himself more clearly.
He sees himself more clearly.
He knows what he's done.
Totally. Because, like, self-loathing isn't a very clear, it's not very connected to reality. It's like the other direction from, like, being real self-aggrandizing, you know, where it's like you're not yeah. seeing yourself yeah. the way you really are when you're in yeah. that mode. And this was so interesting too, because I feel like Swerve very rarely sort of expresses regret, or like he did yeah. a little bit, I think, but like it's in a really different way than Hangman does. So like, I don't know if I've gotten that much of the sense that he's thinking, you know, no. I shouldn't have broken into his house this whole time. So, like, the fact that that's been back there, I think, adds so much, like, depth to his character and is very believable.
I think he just often seems to have more of a vibe of, like, he knows that something, like, he might know that he shouldn't have done something, but he's like, but I was always going to do it. I've met myself.
It's like, that it happened.
I couldn't not do it. I had to do
right.
it.
Right. I don't think he would think about it as regret, because it's like he made a decision. He weighed the cost, and he did deserve his house burning down. Like, he believes that he deserved it.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't have changed anything either. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he wishes he behaved any differently. It's just a price that he had to pay for winning, you know, getting things that he wanted.
Yeah. This was such a sexy, crazy moment.
Yeah.
It made me think about when I was, I've always been a romance girly. And when I was growing up, in all of my, like, the book, like, in the series of, like, the Anne of Green Gables or your Laura Ingalls Wilder, the book where they get together, mm-hmm. mine always has a crack in the spine growing up, because it's like, that's the page it falls open to. Cause I'm always like, I've got to reread that great get together again. That's what this was like. I was like, oh, there's going to be a crack mm-hmm. in the spine on this for sure. I'll be rereading this quite a bit.
Yeah.
What just a that moment. One,
rereading the words of, I said, I know. Wow. Wow. Yeah. Got to take a walk.
Girl.
It was crazy. Like, didn't see it coming
no.
in that moment at all, but it, like, makes so much sense for both the character. And it's such, like, a moment where the character, like you said, like Swerve probably didn't exactly mean to say it in that moment, but it's like
yeah.
both characters suddenly come very clear-eyed
yeah.
at each other about what's happening yeah. here in a way where they both need to go away for a while. And,
like, right. Like, I gotta sit with that.
Yeah. yeah. And as you said early in this episode, it was unsafe to do this to us in an episode where nothing had happened. This is truly like, you need to slow boil us. Like, we need to be enjoying, like, lightly enjoying, and then you turn up the heat. If you have the coldest, most boring episode of all time, and then you strike me with this at this time, I'm going to have a heart attack.
Yeah, it's like if you pull your bacon fat out of the fridge and then put the fresh bacon fat from the pan in it, like, the jar cracks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And my jar cracked.
Yeah, my jar cracked big time. I was actually laughing because the whole episode, you know, I'm in a foul humor, and I kept thinking, like, I can't believe you're about to get an F on this episode, Tony, you fucking idiot. I can't believe you did this to me personally. And then this happened, and it was like, oh, I see. You could turn in an F paper because you knew that you were about to get an A plus 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 on the last 5 minutes, and then suddenly the whole thing is a B minus.
Yeah.
You rascal. You
bastard.
You rascal.
It's honestly, like, legitimately crazy that wrestling could pull this moment off, like, at all with the quality of acting and storytelling that we're usually working with. Because, like, Hangman and Swerve are both, like, absolutely perfect. And, I mean, I do expect it from them, but, like, it is wild, like, when's the last time I saw a moment this romantic in, like, scripted television? You
never, because all scripted romance fucking blows now.
I know, it really does.
Probably,
yeah.
This was right out of Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah. That's true. That is true.
It was on the level of I got lost.
Oh my god. Listen, guys. No one's doing it like them. No one's doing it like them. It's so, you know, not to linger here for too long, but it feels so good to be in safe hands with people where it's like when, like, they mm-hmm. have this moment, it's, I didn't think that they were going to do this beat right now. Like, I didn't mm-hmm. see it coming. It's not something I'd been talking about. And then they do it and it's just like, oh, fuck yeah. Oh, you want to do, oh, you're going to do that? Okay, yeah. Yes, yes, I love it. Like, yeah. They're so,
take me. They're, take me away.
They're making choices and it's like you understand your characters and you're choosing mm-hmm. what story to tell with them. And it's often, it's like not the story that, you know, I like was talking about, like, oh, it seems like they would do this. You're doing a different thing and it's right. It's so good. It feels so good.
Yeah.
Anyway. So that happened to us. Oh, and then this other stuff happened. Right. So then Mox does attack Swerve and he drags him out into the ring and it's all the Death Riders and they powerbomb him into some glass and he's trying to take him out before the pay-per-view and the crowd is chanting cowboy shit, which of course is dangerously erotic. It's not a safe situation for me. Then Mox leaves and Swerve is sitting in the center of the ring with the glass in his back and he's panting and he's really worked up and it's like, wow, you've had a rough day. A lot has happened to you today. You're not the same man now that you were just even an hour ago.
And I'll say it. His body looked really good.
Body looked crazy good. Yeah, I felt guilty, y'all, the whole time about what we did. I felt sick about what we did, to be honest. We have our own crimes to answer for, and I do feel repentant, and I feel self-loathing, and I think that we messed up big time. But at the same time, I don't know that I could do it different, you know, unless I could. I don't know.
Much like Swerve breaking into that house, you know.
So true. So true. Wow. Anything else that you want to say about this?
It's just, it's so horny when the crowd chants one of their things at the other one of them. And then also, like, I don't feel like Swerve Mox has been built that well. I mean, it just hasn't gotten that much time.
Not at all.
But then to have Swerve looking, like, so furious and, like, so emotional, and it's like, oh, every emotion he's having about Hangman is going to come out at Mox because that's his only, like, outlet right this second. And I'm like, you know, well, you got me. I'm watching.
And it's like,
I'm,
talk about working with what you got. You know what I mean? It's like, Mox is only giving... I'm sorry, Mox. I say it every week, but Mox is only giving you Toontown, and he's really not building your feud at all. And you're just like, well, that's okay. I'll use Hangman. I have an emotional proxy that I can bring in. Like, some might call, you know, it's maybe it wasn't my first choice. I'd love to build a feud with you, but I can always do this. It's like, you can make anything work. You're so good.
It's crazy how much Swerve can spin straw into gold, to be honest. It's like pretty wild.
This is a little off topic, but to go back to the Willow getting DDT'd, I did also appreciate that when Swerve, like, confronted Renee after, he was like, I can't believe you would do this because Willow has neck injuries, not because Willow's a girl. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
that is true. That's, like, I hadn't even thought about
that. He very much could have made that argument and been like, I can't believe you would do that to a woman. Why do you love to hurt women? Like, no. He said, you targeted an injury, like an injury place, which is something like people have said about, like, you know, kicking anybody who had, like, you know, Will Ospreay, you know, favoring his, you know, ribs last week. You know what I mean? Like, I just thought that was
Kenny's guts.
It was a nice touch. Yeah. Or Kenny's guts. Kenny's guts is a better
Brian Danielson's neck. Or Trent's neck.
Trent's neck.
Yeah. So, Swerve, you're beautiful and you're a feminist ally.
But you know what? You know what commentary is never saying? Like, be careful. He's popped that titty before. Be careful. That's a delicate titty.
They really should. Poor OC's little titty.
Oh, God. I cannot believe that man popped his little titty. How could you do this? How could you do this
to us now? Right now?
We didn't need this.
We didn't fucking need this. In the week of snow and sleet and the pits about to go off air. God. I can't keep living like this. Anyway, that's a really good point, Leah. I hadn't thought about it that way at all, but I that's really true. I like that.
Sales Ape, the AI sales rep built to give small businesses the unfair advantage of closing more deals. If you generate over 50 leads a month but can't reply instantly, you lose deals. Sales Ape will be your hidden superpower. Used by hundreds of real estate agents, construction companies, and service providers, and backed with $20 million from top investors. Sales Ape is doubling sales for hundreds of businesses just like you. Your own AI agent instantly qualifies inbound leads, engages high-intent buyers,
and books appointments 24/7, even when your team's off the clock. More sales, less overhead. Sales on autopilot. Go to salesape.ai/podcast to try their free demo. Again, that's salesape.ai/podcast for a free demo.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury. The consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
All right. We have our brackets for the Owen. They look fine, I think. Mostly fine. I don't know. Jay White was supposed to be in the men's Owen. He apparently got shoot injured on collision, I guess, by new man Kevin Knight. No, I'm sorry, Kevin. I don't know if it's your fault, but you were fighting him, and now he's injured, and he's not in the Owen anymore. So let's all be careful. Let's just be careful with each other. That's all.
I will say, when people were, like, announcing themselves for the Owen, I was like, oh, this is fun. Like, these all sound really good. And then when they put out the full bracket, I was like, oh. Like, I don't know. It's a lot of matches where I'm like, haven't I already seen this, like, five times?
I kind of feel like I just saw some of these.
They were all in the C2 together.
Wait, yeah, and they were all? It's like Brody King's going to fight Takesha and Mark Briscoe's going to fight Kyle Fletcher. It's like, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
we just saw the opposite version of those. No, Mark Davis. Mark Davis also now injured. God, we're losing them. Yeah. But Mark Davis is just going to acting school or something.
That would be a great cover for acting school or remedial acting school.
Well, Jay White said, so he didn't come out. At the beginning of Dynamite, one of the most disorienting experiences of my life, we get in there and they're talking about Jay White and Cope. And they were like, Jay White was beaten down by the Death Riders. And probably because of his friendship with Cope and because of the animosity with Mox. And I was like, I thought this was the live feed. Like, but is this an episode that I missed from like 4 weeks ago?
And that's not exaggeration.
I stressed out. Actually, I got embarrassed because I was like, oh my God, I'm saying all this stuff about what's happening. Like, it's crazy, but I'm in the wrong feed. And I wasn't. I was just in the normal live Max stream because this is just something that happened this week for some reason. Even though Mox isn't feuding with Cope anymore, and Jay White and Cope aren't actually friends. They don't even hang out.
Such a mess. That whole storyline is just a mess.
It was so foolish. It was such a funny, foolish way to write Jay White off that then I said to you guys, I was like, I think that sometimes you don't need to have a beatdown to write somebody off. Like, why can't you just have an interview with Jay White where he was like, I fucking slipped backstage because people were throwing water balloons. Because people think it's funny to throw water balloons. You people are animals.
That would be so much more fun. And I feel like Ricochet would do that for it.
Ricochet would do that.
The people who are like embracing their dweeb side, I would love it if those were the injuries.
Someone doesn't always have to beat you down. Like, just make up a funny story about something that happened.
Yeah. Man, we didn't even see Max Caster this week.
He's going to be on Collision. He's going to be on Collision fighting Mark Briscoe this weekend for some reason. That seems crazy. Ugh.
That does seem crazy.
I mean, that's fine, I guess, but
I do feel like I think the eternal experience of wrestling might just be like all of a sudden every like 6 weeks being like, why have I only seen the same 8 men? For like the past 6 weeks, like, do we only have 8 men? And then they cycle those 8 men out and you get a different 8 men. But I have to say I'm a little tired of our 8 men right now.
Yeah.
We're just seeing a lot.
I could do with a changeover.
I'm excited that Billy Starks is in the women's Owen.
Yeah. The women's I was more excited about.
Athena's in it. That's fun. Yeah. This is all fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's it leading to?
Julia Hart.
Not for
a
me
title shot.
well, a title shot, but I mean, who will win?
Oh,
you know,
I don't know, I got so excited you had to answer that because you were like, what will it lead to? And I was like, oh, it's a title shot at All In, I think.
No, Gally. I was just thinking more like narratively, like, you know, but
maybe it'll be Mercedes versus Jamie Hayter. That would be fun.
Who's Athena? Athena would lose to Mercedes now. I guess then they could run it back. I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
I mean, yeah.
There is a wild card in the men's tournament who will be fighting Hangman.
Yeah.
I don't think, obviously we're all talking about, like, you know, is Darby going to get back in the mix? He lives on Everest. Guys, come on.
He lives on Everest. He's moved to Everest.
He'll be there forever. He's not coming back from Everest, okay? He likes it there too much. So I don't know. Who do you think that's going to be? Why am I asking you guys that? I don't know why I think that you should have to provide me with a guess.
I got worried that it was going to be Swerve will lose to Mox and then, like, pivot into the Owen. But if they do, like, Swerve Hangman in the first round, I will be
That would be fucking so. Crazy. I mean, like, I guess I'm just, like, I never want to fully... Tony Khan has done so many crazy things with Hangman that it's, like, you never want to say, like, he wouldn't do that. That would be stupid. But, wow, that would be leaving money on the table, you know?
Well, it's crazy that, like, the wild card is on his thing because it's, like, who's the wild card that Hangman's going to beat? And if he doesn't beat, it's, like, you're having Hangman go out in the first round?
But it's, like, who is a wild card that would beat Hangman, though? Hangman does get beat a lot. Who else do we own? Who are we in possession
of? So many people, somehow. Man-wise. And yet... No one interested in this week.
Maybe it's going to be Dustin.
Oh my God. Yeah, it'll probably be Chuck Taylor.
Can you imagine what the internet would be like if the wild card was Dustin Chuck Taylor? I think the internet would love it.
And the actually. Whole match yeah, is just Dustin being like, it. I haven't wrestled. I forgot how to wrestle. Let's just kiss.
Just a little tender kissing. At this point, it's starting to feel like we're pining for, like, Allen Angels or something, you know, where you're just like, oh, it's demoralizing. It's not dignified. Well, I miss him so much.
Okay. That was a roller coaster. Yeah. Were you going to say something, Leah?
No.
No? Okay. Well, if you want to. Hey, I mean, yeah, it would be good if I stopped talking. You know, the less I talk, the better, and the more you talk, the better. So if you have anything you want to say, you go ahead and say.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay. We're basically done. Vanilla Baby is still with us. And now we are, as I mentioned, in possession of Kevin Knight. Kevin Knight we got from New Japan. So is that right? Yeah. Right?
I think so, because... Why somebody said something that made me oh it's because Will Ospreay I think when
oh that's right yeah
they knew each other knew in each New other. Japan I think and they both hated Blake Christian I think who is also from
Blake Christian's New, from New Japan? Japan
I think so that's... I think that's what I was getting from commentary. I don't know if he was full time, but
I didn't realize that about Vanilla Baby.
Well, I'll straight up cut that out if I'm wrong.
Why? Let them hear us.
In all our glory. In all of our glory.
We don't want them to start thinking we know things. Let's make sure they know we don't know anything.
Yes, he was in New Japan.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
I mean, I don't know if he was signed, but he was in the Best of Super Juniors.
Which we all know.
So about. That's where he... Because I just remembered commentary being like, and both Will Ospreay and Kevin Knight fucking hate Blake Christian from Japan. And it's like...
Hmm. And Jay White must also have known Kevin Knight. From Japan. Maybe that's why Kevin Knight took
so
him
many
out.
People know each other from Japan.
That's why Kevin Knight had to get rid of him and take his place in the Owen.
Honestly, there was nothing better than that one. Was it last year's Owen when Jay White, like, randomly, like, somersaulted into the ring and Will Ospreay was already there and they both went, you! As if they had no idea that the other had joined this company. It's like, you're here?
Oh my God. Poor Jay White.
Funny.
Well, look, okay, so I guess it was a New Japan school reunion of a four-way, and then Lee Johnson was also there, and he doesn't.
And Lee Johnson
He didn't
there.
Go there, that I know of, but, you know, I don't know anything. And then, so Kevin, Oh no. Okay. I really wasn't doing a good job by this point in the schedule. I'm sorry. Okay. So let's focus on Will Ospreay came out, and as you know, last week he got emotionally crushed. I mean, I can only imagine. We didn't see him, but we all heard what Kenny said, that he has one friend and it's his cat. So I think we all know that that was rough for Will Ospreay. But he came out to fight this week bouncy as hell, manic with happiness.
Full Tigger.
Yeah. Which I was
furious about. Yeah.
But then,
like, Will, we're trying to tell cloud stories around you to help you out here, buddy.
In my lady,
like, work with us a little bit.
In my Lady Catherine mood, I was just like, how dare you, sir? Every week I go on my podcast and I fight for you. I fight for you. And I beg you every week to just cry. I'm like, it's so easy. Just learn to cry on demand.
Yeah, just wipe a little at the corner
wipe
of your eye.
At the corner of your eye. And every week Will Ospreay said, I can't hear you. I am not telling a story. And I said, fine, I'll tell the fucking story for you. And so this week, in order to get myself into a better humor, I had to be like, he's so happy, too happy. Don't you see how he's trembling with the desire to seem like he's fine? And he's completely unaffected by the fact that once again, he has no one. Once again, he has no one. But it was...
It's so true.
It wasn't the easiest story that I've ever had to interpret from the clouds. I'll be honest.
Took a lot of work.
Took a lot of energy. And he did have a little, like, a handshake, kind of sexy handshake standoff with Kevin Knight, because they're going to meet in the Owen. But... I don't know.
And it was kind of funny because they did this handshake right before they were teaming. And it was like they kind of were meeting for the first time, which is just a fun, fun vibe.
But they know each other.
They do.
They actually know each other. And I said, so many new men. And I guess they all have history, but no one wants to talk about it.
Nope.
Okay.
They just want to be like, hey, buddy. Well, that's not a story, Will Ospreay.
That's not a story. You're hurting me. You're hurting me. Mommy, come pick me up. Will Ospreay won't tell his story.
It takes so little for us to tell a story
around.
Mommy,
I was so nice to him on my podcast every week of the last month, but he still won't tell his story for me, Mommy. My mother says, Alexandra, why are you calling me about this? Hurt People and MJF had what felt like a very long in-ring promo segment. MJF and Bobby Lashley.
Thought you were just going to leave it there and just be like, disgust.
Well, I was
anyway.
I was reading the rest of, you know, I like to use our schedule as my personal journal while I'm doing it. So I was remembering, oh, this is the point where I said I had to go eat a pickle because I was so bored. Okay, so MJF and Bobby Lashley got in this big argument about whether they should team up. And I did put the text here, but it's like it was pretty boring. It was a real phone it in from everybody involved. MVP Flea is exiting.
She just leaned way back.
What was that?
My back was like twinging, so I was trying to stretch it out while you were explaining.
Okay, you can do that, but your face was just so, you looked like you were like, I can go somewhere else. I don't have to hear what she's saying anymore. I can take myself.
It was a very, maybe I could do the last 20 minutes of this podcast from my bed kind of energy.
Okay, you deal with your back. I won't comment on it anymore. Oh, so the promo though. Oh, everyone involved phoning it in. MVP said, I think nothing, which was great because I'm still mad at him for what occurred last week. Mm-hmm. But can either of you tell me why, what this storyline is and why you think it's happening?
No.
It's really like MJF wants in to the Hurt People faction. Why? And Bobby don't
but
want
does
him.
But does he even really want in so much as he's offended?
Who could
not
say?
Not to be wanted?
Literally, who could say? And I keep thinking, is he trying to get into this faction so that he can, like, do what he did to, like, Chris Jericho with the Inner Circle a billion years ago? You know, like, is it like a Trojan horse situation? I have, like, no idea what his motivations are, which is, like, so bad.
No.
Because he talks so long, I should know what's going on with him.
Well, he doesn't say that much, though.
He doesn't say anything.
It was rough to watch this because we just bigged MJF up. Everyone is getting our hopes up and then crushing him. We just bigged him up so much about the feud with Hangman where we were like, wow, you really said some stuff. You came out and you gave promos that had content that was like thought provoking and that made us be like, oh, I think about the character in a new way. But then for his interlude with Bobby, he just came out and he did his catchphrases. And then Bobby said nothing really.
Yeah.
He said, like,
he didn't even say he was grimy again.
That would have been fun. Yeah.
I would have been fun.
I did really like his suit jacket, though.
You liked Bobby. His suit jacket?
Yeah, with the kicky little belt.
It did not fit correctly.
No, of course not. He's always wearing smediums, but I really liked his kicky little belt.
I have to be honest. I feel like he might be fairly proud of his outfits, and I don't want to reward him for it. I really don't. I didn't like it. And I was really upset when he turned around, and it was like he's trying to pop out of it. It's like, just buy when
it fits. You've lost me here. Because when a large man wears a Lane Bryant pantsuit that's one size too small, to me, that's what I like.
Do you remember that Chris Farley bit, that like fat man in a little coat thing he did in the one movie?
Yeah, yeah.
That is kind of Bobby Lashley all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my God. I don't, you know what? I think it's just a difference of opinion that we have. I do. I think it is. And you know what? That's okay. We don't have to believe all the same things. It's okay for.
So true.
Wow.
Mommy, that's can so you compete me say. How much I doesn't agree with me about Bobby Lashley's suit and the sleet thing?
Oh, you know what this segment really made me meditate on, though, is I know that getting long promo segments is like a sign of your prestige and stuff, but really, Hangman never getting them except when he's teamed up with MJF, I think is better for him in terms of how much the crowd likes him, because he never wears out his welcome. He never has 20 minutes to fill saying absolutely nothing. And I haven't wearied of him the way I have of MJF in the past 2 years.
Well, it's kind of like when sometimes like an indie movie hits really hard with a budget of $100 and like
popcorn. You know,
Popcorn. Meanwhile, like the newest James Cameron is absolute trash.
Yep.
Did you guys see Avatar 2? I didn't ever see it.
No.
Have you seen Avatar 1? I never saw it.
Yeah, and I was so mad at it. It sucked ass.
Why does everyone say it was so good?
I saw it in the theater. Why did I see it in the theater? I don't know.
It was the zeitgeist. I mean,
it was the zeitgeist. That's why everyone said it was good, I think, because, I don't know, they all got tricked into it, but it's so, like...
There's nothing... Avatar true believers are like nothing else, though. I mean, it's like, when the second one came out, everyone was like, no, you think you won't like it, but you will. But I didn't go see it. And that's contrarianism, which I share in common with Matt Jackson. Wow. What are we talking about? James Cameron. Indie movies are good.
Why does MJF want to be in the Hurt People?
Yeah, and why is he the Michael Bay of pro wrestling?
I just don't, think any of this adds up. And it is really, it's kind of depressing to be like, you did really good work and now look at what you're doing. Regression. Regression. Yeah. If no one's actively pushing you, you just regress. Lazy.
It felt very lazy this week because it was just like he's just gone into like his like smarmy nothing character. And
I will say though,
I'm bored of it.
I can't imagine that anyone would be doing great work against the Hurt People right now because it's like MJF is kind of doing a one man show. With a, you know, bunch of cardboard cutouts. I mean.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, Hangman gave him a lot to work with because he's like a complicated character. And the Hurt People
are giving him nothing.
They are.
Right, yeah. So he's returning to his own safe well.
Yeah.
Which is not fun to experience. But it is sort of like, I blame both of you. You all are disappointing me here.
Well, I certainly don't mean to sound like I'm forgiving the Hurt People because... After the events of last week,
They're all on my list.
They're all on my list. What was I going to say about the hurt people? Are they like, are they over? Or
people seem to say
people
yes.
People keep like saying everybody, they are, but it's like, one thing I'll say is I hate the hurt people, but of course their theme song is really catchy. And when they came out, I like loved singing their theme song. And you can tell that people love the theme song and not the hurt people themselves, because after the theme song stops in the, I was about to say in the theater, that was a real throwback, in the, not auditorium, in the stadium.
Arena.
After the theme song stops in the arena, people just keep singing the same part of the theme song over and over again. It's not about the hurt people. It's just like, it's so fun to sing. It's so fun to sing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, should we mention also the complete failure of the Cope sing-alongs that they keep forcing lately?
That is so funny. They know part of it, and then everyone's like just kind of trails off and does the thing. Have you ever been like singing with your friend and you think you know all the words and you get to a certain part and you're like, da da?
Have I ever every day of my life? Yeah. Usually I'll just sing along a really wrong lyric very confidently so that whoever's in the car with me has to be like, what did you just say? What's happening with you? It is, and then it's really sad too, because Cope will be like really encouraging everyone, like, you're doing amazing. Yeah. Like, yes, thank you. I know you all love me. And it's like, they're doing incredibly bad. And this is humiliating. This is embarrassing for everybody. Yeah.
This last time he like clapped for the crowd and it was like, okay, well.
Just because Australia is obsessed with you doesn't mean it's going to happen other places. Stop trying to make fetch happen.
Yeah.
Let's exactly. move on.
Chris Jericho would never.
Chris Jericho, I think, no. in fact, was like, I'm worried that it might get to that place, so now I won't use Judas anymore. And I'll bring it back out when people will be excited to hear it.
I miss Judas. I'd love a little Judas sing-along right now.
Do you think, what was the thing that that Jericho just got voted, like, most annoying in AEW? What was that, where is that poll from?
It was Jesse Collins' AEW fan poll.
Didn't you see, I saw that, and I actually was just like, and he's proud of it. And I was like, and that's so important. Yeah. It's like, that is, has nothing to do with whether or not he should be, like, in the company or not. Like, that's not, you know, that's just Jericho, baby. That's actually good.
Yeah.
That man could sell me a bridge, you know?
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
Absolutely.
I think the final thing that we have here that isn't really anything, but I am just going to ask you guys. It's my understanding that for the past, I don't know, month and a half, Adam Cole and Danny Garcia have been having a heated feud and series of matches on Collision, entirely on Collision. Mm-hmm. And it is now about to culminate at the Dynasty pay-per-view with a third match, perhaps. Have you guys seen any of the matches or interludes between the men?
No, and in fact, I haven't even seen anyone talking about it because I really wasn't aware this was happening, which is pretty funny.
I think, although I was in a real snit when I was listening because I was commuting to my job, I think ONR talked about it this week, and I think that James was like, Adam Cole is doing some good normal work for a change. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, he did say that.
But I feel like, having just read the transcript of this promo that Danny Garcia and Adam Cole had on Collision this week and not watched it, I was like, James, I think you are grading on a curve. Because what I have just read is one of the most boring little conversations that two men have ever been allowed TV time to have.
Whenever anyone starts a promo with being like, let me make this clear, I have all the respect in the world for you. It's like, get out of here. Like, what are we even doing? What are we doing?
Very
not an emotion I'm interested in. Not even really an emotion.
I'm interested. And to be clear, I'm not claiming I understand what's going on this feud. Again, I haven't seen any of it. And they could be doing really good wrestling. And I hope that they are, for their sakes. But I feel alarmed that I'm going to have to watch their match. After what I've read here, I don't know why they're having it.
Honestly, hearing about this, I'm like, oh, it's great that Adam Cole's been relegated to Collision where I don't have to see him.
Sorry, Adam Cole. They should be doing stuff like this on Collision. Like, they should be having Collision-only feuds. It's just that I like Daniel Garcia.
Release.
And I wish he wasn't there. But Adam Cole should stay on Collision. That's a good
thing. Maybe he's going to win the TNT belt and stay on Collision, and Danny Garcia will not have a belt, but he can come home to us.
That would be
nice. And maybe more men could come home to us the young,
but maybe the Hurt Business could go to
Collision. The Hurt Business could go to Collision. The Young Bucks can come home.
And in fact, aren't the tag titles kind of supposed to be on Collision? Like, let's get them over there.
Are they supposed to be on Collision?
That, well, FDR had them there for.
I was 10, it's literally years, was about so. Saying, is that CM Punk's vision?
He loves tag team wrestling, as we all know. Hey,
over on Collision, that's where we keep our mature, comfortable tag team belts.
That's where they really respect tag
teams. That's where they respect tag teams, yeah.
It's just those comfortable grabs.
What a week, guys. Was this a
what a week.
This is like a weird episode.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, but it's not our fault.
Not our fault, yeah.
It was
do you think,
a bad episode of Dynamite.
Is this the most negative
nothing for girls.
We've been in recent history? Maybe.
I think so.
But it's not really big picture negativity, because I don't pretend to understand the big picture. I mean, I'm quite confused, and I have said quite a few times over the past 2 weeks, like, I don't think I understand what they are trying to do with the men's title scene at all anymore. Like, they do things, and sometimes the camera will, like, linger on something in such a way where I'm like, that seems like it's supposed to be meaningful, but I don't know why. I can't figure out why.
Well, the thing is, like, Dynamite has been pretty good the last bit, so I have been, like, pretty high on AEW, so it was just interesting to have, like, such a garbage episode as the go-home show.
Oh, my God, right.
Like, wow, nothing to sink my teeth into except the one thing. Two things.
For this to be the go-home show, we're going to spend money on this pay-per-view. Oh, did we pre-buy it?
We already did. Okay, yeah, we pre-bought it.
Thank God we don't have to punch in the credit card information again, because that would feel demeaning at this point for Dynasty. Okay. Well, is there anything else? Anything you wanted to talk about that we didn't get a chance to talk about? Maybe some stuff about the pit or... Leah, how's your back feeling?
I mean, just, you know, watch the max.
I wish my... Oh, that's what it was. Did you guys know that Dana from the... Pitt was married to French Stewart for like 10-15 years.
What? Yes. French Stewart? That's a name I haven't heard.
Listeners, she's fact-checking me right now.
No, I'm going to. I don't remember
no,
who that
so
is.
No, I'm curious. He is the Third Rock from the Sun guy.
I never saw it. I was a PBS
kid. Oh, right, PBS.
I was a PBS kid. Mommy, can you pick me up?
My You've probably seen him, but maybe you again. Haven't.
I don't think his face looks kind of familiar, but I don't think I've ever seen him in anything. He's been in a lot of bad movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's,
yeah.
Yeah.
He's not a good untalented. Actor.
No, but he was good in the role as like an alien because his face, he makes lots of funny faces. Wow, she was married to him for quite a while. That's fascinating. She's been
pointing
to
the board.
Times.
Hey. Point on the board. Point
wow. I'm like, board. We didn't even bother to.
Is that something we're
we didn't even bother
score
to
on?
Wheel the board out for this episode. That's
personal life of pit actors.
It's all points go to the same place, you know, the board, pretty much.
So
all dogs
true.
Go to heaven, and all points go to the board.
Also, she looks so different in like glamour shots than she does.
She looks so cute on the pit.
Yeah.
I love the pit. I wish wrestling were the pit.
I know.
I guess I did do this game, but we didn't really agree that we were going to play it, so I didn't bring it up.
And we filled up our time anyway.
Filled up our allotted time. Okay, well, maybe we'll play it next week.
Yeah. Love that.
But hey, but maybe...
Oh, it's going to be a pay-per-view week.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe, but
we always go long.
We just had a pay-per-view week.
It's been Dynasty.
I want to do another
Dynasty
one.
Dynasty has been happening.
There's no reason to have a pay-per-view at the first weekend in April. It's stupid.
I feel aggressed. I feel aggressed by this pay-per-view.
And they don't even, like, put any effort into it either. It's like they're just trying to take my money.
And they already have it. Then they already got it. Damn it.
Because we
got
bought
it.
That bundle.
Because we bought that.
After 5 years of watching wrestling and listening to people talk about the bundle, we finally were like, okay,
it was a really good value.
The bundle is
the bundle was a
yeah,
really
it was
good
a
value.
Great value. Thank God. Yeah.
So no one has anything else they want to say, or if you're feeling kind of done, what y'all done here, or what's up?
Do you want to like add another 10 minutes? I mean,
I don't know why now I'm filibustering the end of the podcast.
I know. I'm like, Ellie, let's get out of here.
We can go watch the pit. If we
well, I think that then you should authoritatively just say, like, no, Allie, time to leave. And then I would do it. I just feel, you know, it's like, if we're still talking.
Well, because I don't want the listeners to think I didn't have a good time. So I just want to politely be like, you know, the Midwest thing where you keep slapping your knees and being like, well, Allie.
Got to get up early in the morning for the cows.
Well, I want you to, I want you to take a stronger tack with me.
Please. Yeah, Leah, go full Northeast on her. Well, I'm leaving.
If I was going to go full Northeast, end the Zoom, Leah. If I was going to go full Northeast, what I would do is get up from the Zoom and start folding things in the background and make her like uncomfortable without saying anything.
Nice. But I would just say something. I'd be like, Leah, what are you doing? Leah, come back. Leah. Wasn't there anything else you wanted to say about wrestling? Leah.
Once I was at a farmer's market in Boston and I witnessed an exchange where someone said to a vendor, I'd like a melon. And he said, who cares? And I was like, yep. Welcome to Boston.
I think that's us to Tony Khan every week. I'd like a melon. Who cares? All right. On that note, I've been Allie.
I've been Ian.
I've been Leah.
We could still talk about the ops if you wanted.
Allie, we're done here.
Allie, we gotta go.
This has been Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Gorkin. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, Twitch, via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. We also have a souvenir stand now. You can find it at chop-keys.com. You can find us on our feed, on the Social Suplex Network feed, where you can check out some of the other great podcasts on the network, and